This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Rich Lowry, editor at National Review. In his latest column, Mr. Lowry says that the Obama administration is suffering from a really bad case of bunker mentality, not realizing that the bulk of the American people have decided that their approach, specifically to the economy, but also on some other issues, is not one that they agree with. And Rich, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
What are the telltale signs that the Obama administration's just not getting it as you see it?
Well, the $50 billion more in proposed infrastructure spending when there was already $100, $200 billion in the stimulus bill, depending on how you count it. And we clearly did not get the sort of bang for the buck we were hoping for there. And the fact that he is still talking about raising taxes in a massive way, $700 billion over the next 10 years, in the midst of a weak economy. So they're trying to figure out how better to sell his economic message. I think it's the substance that's the problem.
At his speech in Cleveland, the president was basically saying that his decision on letting some of the Bush tax cuts expire, namely for the richest Americans, was that he wanted to grow the middle class and that this would add to the deficit if this were allowed to go not go back to the 2001 rates before the Bush tax cuts went into effect. How effective do you expect that strategy to be as he tries to create a big difference between the two parties for the midterms here?
Well, the problem he's going to have politically is his own party. Because before August, which was an awful month for the Democrats, there were already three Democrats in the Senate saying, look, this is a weak economy, that we at least need to extend all these tax cuts for a year or two. And, you know, that was a real sign of nervousness before the swoon in the polls over the last month or so. So I think it's going to be very hard for Obama to get his party behind his policy here. And on the deficit, yeah, it's expensive, $700 billion. The rest of the tax cuts that he wants to extend are even more expensive, $3 trillion over the next 10 years. So I'm not sure the deficit argument makes sense. And I think the way Republicans should counter, though, is to say, yes, we want to extend these things, and we want to pay for them.
What can he do, though, given what the poll numbers that you cite at length in your piece about how especially independents, people who don't like both parties, really don't like the Democrats? What message could he say that bears some sort of impact on the outcome here but doesn't completely contradict everything he's tried to push to this point?
Well, I would have counseled extending all those tax cuts and inviting the Republicans to the White House and saying, look, what are the consensus ideas we can come back, come together on to dial back on spending some and to institute some pro-growth policies? And if Republicans just said, no, we're not going to show up or stiffed him, I do think that would hurt them. And it would return Obama a little bit to that kind of post-partisan vibe he had during the campaign, and it might get him some credibility in the middle. The political problem they have, though, is they're really looking at a dispirited base. They need to get their voters out, the kind of voters that historically do not show up in midterm elections, younger voters and African Americans. So it really limits his maneuverability, because if you're going to do something to appeal to the center, he'd risk depressing his base further. And that's just, Greg, the fundamental problem, is independents on a whole host of issues, from the really central and important ones to the more peripheral hot-button issues, whether it's spending, debt, Arizona immigration law, Ground Zero Mosque, they're much closer to Republicans and the Tea Party than they are to Democrats right now.
You mentioned the independents, Rich, and of course independents went big for Obama in 2008, which may be part of the reason why he keeps pointing out the lousy economy he claims he was handed by the Bush administration. According to the poll from NBC that you cited in your piece, that doesn't seem to be sinking in, but do you expect him to keep hammering that, hoping that he'll create that same type of impression about why the economy is bad as he had 2 years ago?
Yeah, now in fairness, he did inherit a rotten economy. And history shows that recessions driven by financial crises, it is harder to get out of them and takes some time. I think even in the best circumstances, this would be a slow recovery. The thing is, he's spent $1 trillion on a stimulus that didn't work on its own terms, and spent a lot of other time on initiatives that have nothing to do with the economy or will arguably hurt the economy, like health care reform. So but he's left kind of making the case it's all Bush's fault, and they're going to represent the Republicans' return to the Bush years. The thing is, the polls show that most people don't think congressional Republicans are going to be a repeat of Bush, just because Bush is beginning to be kind of washed from their minds. He hasn't been in office for 2 years now.
What is the best Republican strategy as you see it? Is it to basically just point to Obama and what this Congress has done, or do they need to do a little bit more of what John Boehner has started to do here and talk about specific ideas like freezing spending at 2008 levels, making the tax cuts stay where they are for at least another couple of years? Which is going to have the greater impact, do you think?
I think they need to lay out an agenda. Now, it doesn't need to be hugely ambitious. It doesn't need to be the Ryan plan for balancing the budget and reforming entitlements for the next 75 years. But it needs to be pro-growth and a credible step towards a common-sense austerity. And I think that's the direction they're moving in. Later on in this month, they'll have a contract-like, Contract of America-like document that will have specific policies in it. So I think the temptation would be for Republicans just to say, look, things are going great. Let's not mess with it. Let's not put any specifics out there. But I think that would be a mistake in the long term, not just with their public perception and run up to the election, but if they actually take the majority, they want to have some sort of governing document to get them started. So it makes sense to lay it out now and try to get something of a mandate for it.
Rich, final question. Just looking at the timetable of this, we're now under 8 weeks until the midterm elections. Chances are the general economic picture is not going to look a whole lot rosier than it does right now. And we obviously see the polls as related to how the public sees the Obama performance as well as the Democratic performance on the economy. So is there anything that could happen in terms of just events that could really change the public perception on what's going on here?
Well, Larry Sabato, the University of Virginia, the great political scientist, he's calling for Republican pickups, forecasting Republican pickups 40, 50 seats. But he points out, you know, late-breaking events can make a difference. The Cuban Missile Crisis, for instance, really took the edge off of Democratic losses in that midterm election cycle. Some exogenous intervening event could happen that's totally unforeseen, or, you know, somehow Democrats could find a way to take a little bit of the edge off of this wave. But at the moment, it looks like it's going to be the proverbial tsunami.
Rich, be fun to watch. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Greg.
Rich Lowry, editor at National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.